Dina Diamond joining us in studio for Marketing Mondays. How are you?
Very good. And you're still choking on your 1 minute.
I am still choking. It took less than a minute to floor me. right. So we wanted to, obviously, last week was a very, very big week on this show, and in fact, in the Jewish community in South Africa, where a kid belonging to a certain school sent a tremendously anti-Semitic voice note to a girl at a Jewish day school. And the school had to deal with the fallout. The community had to deal with it on many levels. And I believe that the school, Treverton, dealt with it very, very well. What is your view? Because it is so easy to get this wrong when bad things happen to good schools.
Absolutely. What we saw from Treverton is they didn't try and shy away from it. They didn't try and pretend it didn't happen. They didn't try and say it was a pupil and had nothing to do with us. They took responsibility. They said that they don't agree with it. It doesn't agree with their ethos and their values, and that swift and immediate sort of action would be taken in terms of either some sort of punishment or some sort of retribution. But I must say that it was handled very, very well, and from both sides. So yes, the school did handle it brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I think that these days, again, when we look at anything, and a school is included in that kind of institution, any institution, any organization, it has to stand up at some point, because anything that happens with regards to that institution or organization or its pupils, in the school in this case, does affect it, and it affects its running, it affects who attends it, it affects funding, it affects so many things. So they can't just be complacent. Mm. And they had to take responsibility, and they had to say, like, this doesn't, we don't agree with the ethos. And We've seen this consistently in South Africa and the environment that we're in. In fact, there've been multiple scandals with schools,
right?
And we see how they've taken responsibility.
So we've had the Pretoria girls. That was the hair incident saga.
Yeah,
right. And then we've had St. John's.
Yes, well, if you look at also Adam Cavalis, you know that Castavelis.
Yes,
yes,
fine.
My Greek, not as good as it used to be.
Right, nor is his. So, oh no, his is going to get better.
So we see in all these cases, it does affect a school. Mm. And even if it's a pupil or a parent at that school, there is an implication.
Right.
And they do have to stand up, and they do have to make a statement, and they do have to be heard. Because if you're not saying anything, then people just make assumptions, and then it just goes from bad to
that
worse.
That you're covering up, etc.
Absolutely.
So what was interesting was we spoke to the headmaster as this incident happened. Again, the incident was a kid from that school sent a voice note, an anti-Semitic voice note, to a girl at King David, a Jewish girl. We spoke to the headmaster that the next morning. It broke at 9 o'clock the night before. 7:40, he had already had an assembly. He was happy to get on the phone with us. He had spoken to the Jewish Board of Deputies. But a lot of our listeners felt unsatisfied or dissatisfied by what he said, even though his actions certainly spoke louder than his words. He was doing a lot. He was, you know, said, I need to look into it. I need to understand the facts, etc. But unequivocally, this won't happen. But he never said, I'm sorry, or we are sorry. Now, I didn't feel he needed to, because he didn't say it.
It wasn't his voice note.
It was a pupil at the school. But somehow, people seem to expect the school to be the voice of that. How do you, at the same time, I don't see why he should have taken on that responsibility of saying, we did it. I don't know that he did. I don't know that the school environment created or nurtured that space. So how close do you get to responsibility without taking responsibility in order for people to feel heard?
Yeah, so again, this is a tough one because it's emotive. Mm. So I think the responses from your listeners was more emotive. And I know you were talking about you've over-rationalized it, you've thought too much about it. And I think if you look at the response from the board as well, it's been along those same lines. So that they have felt that this is acceptable from the school, because again, the school, their ethos is not to teach anti-Semitism. Their ethos is not to teach racism and ethnic differential. I think it was there that the the board actually did do an amazing job. And Dani herself, I mean, she stood up and
she's emerged as a true heroine in the story.
She has. And again, from her tolerance, from her understanding. So for her, she said that it was enough. She said that the apology by the boy was enough. She said that it was sincere and that it came across sincere. And for her, that really resonated. And also because of the age of the student, because when you're 14, 15 years old, you do get involved with your friends and you do just sort of say stupid things.
Right.
And I think she said she's got a brother as well, the same age.
Yes.
And who did get into trouble for something or whatever along the lines and did sort of suffer similar consequences. And you do have to take into account the age and the immaturity at that point. But the school did stand up. As you say, the next morning he took responsibility. They took accountability. They didn't say we don't have a comment. They didn't say it's got nothing to do with us. He said we will look into it. He didn't shy away from it. And again, an immediate response. So again, very well handled by that school, I feel. And is it his responsibility to take that particular incident onto his own hands? I don't think it was his responsibility. I think as an overall body, in terms of what he's able to say and to what able he's to commit to, he did. He said there'd be remedial action. He said it would be looked into. And we've seen that there will be, and it has happened, that this has happened. And it's all happened very quickly.
So when we come back after the riddle news and sport, I want to ask you, I want to take this away from a school and look at any form, any company where something like this might happen, because it's actually there's a tremendous amount of parallel. Somebody might be working for a bank and say something completely inappropriate, and all of a sudden you could potentially have this groundswell of negativity towards the institution that employs that person.
Absolutely.
So I do want to look at that, maybe take a look at some steps and say these are the couple of things that every organization that encounters this needs to deal with it, because whether we like to think it'll never happen to us or not, there actually is a great chance that somebody in your organization, whether it's your church or your synagogue or your mosque or your company or your school, is going to stand up and say something inappropriate. How best to deal with it? It is 7:28. I'd love your thoughts on it. 345-19 or 061-895-1019. Just taking a look at some of the other SMSs. Lovely song. Puts one in such a good mood. That's from Kathleen. Unsigned wants to know, Howard, I wonder who taught your daughter like that. It wasn't. I don't know what you're insinuating exactly, but I know that it wasn't me. I definitely know it wasn't me. Brenda says we should ask our listeners for the for recommendations for the 7 o'clock, because yes. But Dina, from a marketing, from a PR perspective, because we're not talking about here, we're not talking about whether there was actual substance. Although what is relevant is that some people didn't necessarily.
But I do actually want to comment on that. I'll tell you why. Because we can say, so yes, there's things that are punitive and things that they could do to him. They could suspend him. They could expel him. But ultimately, what difference is that going to make? So when we look at what the Jewish board does, and let me tell you, their job is not an easy one. And I don't think anyone ever necessarily agrees, especially not in our community, with the way things are handled, the way things are responded to. Because no one, let's face it, to like, or sort of three opinions in every single individual.
Right, absolutely.
So it's always a sort of a tightrope in how they handle these situations. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, you say there's someone who is spewing out literally hate and coming from what they say was an uninformed or uneducated position. Mm-hmm. So how do you rectify that? You do it through education, through changing that person. And that's what Danny's also said a lot, is that it doesn't really help to punish someone if there's not going to be some sort of real change and you're not going to be able to change that attitude.
So what's interesting is Danny met with the voicemail artist over the weekend, and just after 8:30 we're going to get hold of Dani. She's going to be talking to us on the phone, and we're just going to get an update as to what happened over the weekend. Before I forget, Nick Rosenberg and his father Rosenberg Rosberg. Because, you see, this is why I can't do the sports Nico questions, Rosberg. Because I have no idea what anybody's talking about, and it shows. They were the second father and son combo to win World Drivers' Championship. Who were the first father and son combo? You see, all I know about combos is, like when you go to RTG and chicken you can and order that chicken, you can get the wings. As yeah. So it's like a different kind of a focus. David Zimmerman says it is Damon and Graham Hill. Madel says Graham and Damon Hill. Sorry, Madeleine. And Mike C. says Graham and Damon Hill. And that is indeed the answer. Kelman, that is the answer. It is, for you, Graham and Damon Hill. Write that down.
So next time you get asked that in a random conversation,
no,
you
so
have
tomorrow you cannot say to me you never get the answers anyway. Maybe you can say it happened from time to time that you didn't. By the way, that's the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. I'm serious. An optimist will say, you didn't give us the answer a few times last week. A pessimist will say you never give us the answers. It's a very
Kelman,
big
that
difference.
Wasn't a dig. You're a wonderful person.
I have no doubt. I don't know who Kelman is, but I'm sure he is a wonderful person. It's just an interesting way of
looking at it. That is interesting.
It's what happens is if a negative event occurs, an optimist puts it in a box. They frame it.
Yeah. I get the never. You never help me.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not going to say that from a child at all. Who's going to be on
you
their own
never, you never help me. You never listen
ever.
To me. Or you might say, rather, you know what, at night when I'm setting the table and I'm tired, you don't help me. Please, can you help me? So that frames it within that context. There we go.
It's got a positive slant.
Well, isn't it even positive? It's still saying the same thing.
Enabling stance.
But
exactly.
It doesn't say, well, because then your child's response is, actually, that's not true. I mean, I was helping you the whole afternoon.
Exactly.
You know, so why can you say, see, nothing I do is good enough? No, that's what the husband says. All right. Clive says, Jews are weak. That's why we get attacked, because people get away with it. Clive.
No, unfortunately, we just get attacked because that's history has shown us that will happen throughout the whole of history. The community does have to stand up for itself.
Of course.
And there does have to be some sort of remedial action, and there does have to be a consequence.
Mm.
But to say that this is necessarily a weak response is, again, every situation needs to be looked at individually and handled individually. And I believe that in this situation, it has been handled correctly.
Okay.
Everyone is entitled to their views, and it is emotive.
And I happen to agree that I think it's been handled very well. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing from Danny what the response from the voicemail artist was. But I also want to now take this a little bit broader,
yes.
As I asked you before, in 4 minutes and less. assuming this happens in your community, assuming it happens at your school, in your company, in your family, what does one do about it?
So, again, you've talked about this in terms of PR. So what happens if someone goes out there, says something, does something that has a negative impact on you as a family or specifically as a company?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at every single organization, again, most organizations that are relatively well-structured and especially if they're listed organizations, if they're banks, if they're financial institutions, they've got to have reputations that they manage effectively. If they've even got any level of a marketing budget, what would happen is that any single employee that starts at a new organization signs a whole bunch of policy and procedure documents, and those documents often contain these days, actually most often, is a social media policy.
Right.
And that social media policy, because that's where the faux pas are happening, that's where people are just going out there and being rather just stupid and not thinking, to be quite honest. And these social media policies are put in place because of the fact that people are doing this, and that it's just so broad, and that you can literally go online at any stage of the day or night and tweet whatever you would like, post a picture of whatever you would like, or say anything really stupid, or send a voice note.
Mm.
So these policies are there to ensure that should you not adhere to that policy or do something that is out of bounds, that there can be remedial action or there can be some sort of disciplinary that happens. And again, it's also put there to say, well, you can't say I wasn't aware of this because I signed it. So you arrive into an organization and you say, oh, I don't know anything about social media. I'm not really. My manager will say, well, here's the policy. Read the policy. See what's allowed. See what's not allowed. And it's quite specific in terms of what is allowed and what is not allowed. And the companies that that you're not even allowed to use their handle or their name in any tweet.
Right.
And that is controlled. And we have seen over the years, and again, as social media has sort of blossomed, and Emma Stadler, who's a social media expert, talks about it often. And she says that if you're not willing to say something and have a tweet put on a billboard with a picture of yourself next to it, then you shouldn't say it. And that should govern everything you do in terms of a company, in terms of how you behave. And in terms of the companies, they because you sign this document, they do have recourse. But again, it's just to say, listen, don't be stupid. We live in an age where anyone can say anything. And should you choose to do that, just know that it doesn't just affect you, it affects our brand.
And that's why they can. You know, and that's why they do go out and distance themselves very, very quickly from those comments.
They've put the policies in place, they've put the procedures in place. And they say, also, no one's just allowed to be a spokesperson. A lot of companies as well have set spokespeople, and they're the ones who are trained. They know what they can say, they know what they can't say. And if someone also decides they just want to become their own little media team, they will be taken out for that. And absolutely rightly so. And in fact, people have actually been fired for that. If you look at their various case studies where people have said stuff or done stupid things, and they have been fired, they've been suspended, they've had disciplinary action. And it's just a different world that we live in where you have to be constantly aware of what you're doing. But when there is something like that, and where we see with these schools that they take action, they take accountability, but they're not that person. So they don't have to pretend to be that person. But they do have to have a level of ownership and a level of responsibility. And that is what happened in this case. And in general, so that is kind of where we stay on the PR and media fault side.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you for your input. Dina Diamond, as always, Marketing Mondays, taking on very, very interesting conversations. It is 7:45.